final scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to start by showing you a gift that I gave Jen for Christmas. This is this snowman that I got at Walmart. Any of you seen this year? No one? Maybe a couple? Okay. So, it has this little lever at the bottom. He's holding this little horn in his hand. It's got this lever that when you push this little lever at the bottom, it does this. It works better at home when you're in a smaller space and it's louder because you can hear the little speaker that's on the plug over there and you can hear this and it goes back and forth playing. So you're not just turning on the lights on your Christmas tree. You are turning on the lights on your Christmas tree in this big, grand, celebratory way with a trumpet announcing it. It's this glorious announcement that leads to the lights coming on. So every morning, our kids run downstairs to see who is going to be the first one to turn this on. And the music plays, and the lights come on, and everybody is happy. So it's this glorious announcement that leads to the lights coming on. And this is exactly what Epiphany is about. Epiphany is the day when we hear the story of the wise men coming to Jesus. But there is so much more to it than just that. If you look up the word epiphany in the dictionary, it's defined as a revelation, when something appears or shows forth or is made manifest. When someone talks about, "I had an epiphany," what are they saying? They're saying that something that wasn't clear to me before, it's clear to me now. Something I couldn't see before, I can see it now, I get it now. It's about something being revealed. Some kind of knowledge is made known. A mystery is revealed to you. An epiphany is that moment where the lights come on and you get it. The word epiphany, it comes from the Greek word epiphaneis, which means appearance or to appear or to reveal. That word in Greek, it comes from another word that means glorious or glory. And that comes from a word that means to shine, to bring light, or to make visible. So you put all this together, epiphany has to do with the coming of light that reveals glory. The coming of light that reveals glory. And light can only come when there is darkness. So what we are reminded of today is how God shines light to reveal God's glory in the midst of darkness. And we see that in these three texts that we read today. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at how the light shines and how God's glory is revealed in each of these three texts. So we'll take a look at them real quick. We start with Isaiah. where God says to the people of Israel, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And then we get this part where it talks about how the nations shall come to Israel, bringing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Now, it's easy to read this as just kind of serving as background for the story in Matthew, where the wise men come bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and praising Christ. But this is not just here to foreshadow Matthew's story and lay the groundwork for Jesus. It has its own significant context. This section of the book of Isaiah is thought to have been written around the year 530 BC. What was happening at that time is that the people of Israel had just spent the past 200 years in exile, conquered by foreign nations. The Assyrian army had come in, they'd invaded Israel, destroyed their cities, destroyed their temple, killed a lot of people, and sent others off to live in foreign lands. Then the Babylonian army came in after that, conquered the Assyrians, and did the same thing all over again. So twice this has happened to the people of Israel. Around the time that this was written, Cyrus, the king of Persia, had just come in and conquered the Babylonians. And so he says to the people of Israel, "The people who conquered you have been defeated. You can go back home now." And they return to Israel to find that their home has been totally destroyed. Their economy, their way of life, all of it has been ruined. And they have to rebuild everything. This is a dark time for Israel. And it is into that darkness that God says, "Arise, get up, pick yourselves up off the ground, and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." In the midst of their desolate darkness, God tells them that a time will come when the nations and the kings around them who worship all these other gods, they will come to Israel proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Their poverty will be replaced by wealth as the nations bring them camels and gold and frankincense. All of the children of Israel who've been shipped off to live in foreign lands, they will all come home. It's a picture of everything being restored and made whole again. All people, Jews and Gentiles, living life together, praising God together. So where we see light shining and God's glory being revealed in this text is that God's light will shine upon Israel in their darkness, restore them, and make them whole again. And God's glory will be revealed to the world through Israel. People will look at Israel and they will see the glory of God. Then we get this story of the wise men coming to Jesus in Matthew's gospel. Now, this word that we read as wise men is the Greek word magoi or magi, and it refers specifically to Zoroastrian priests from Persia. So these priests of a different religion in Persia, which we know today is the area around Iran, they were the scholars of their day, skilled in astrology and the interpretation of dreams. They would do like daily horoscopes and things like that. And being from Persia means that they were from the same area that had conquered Israel during Isaiah's time. So now their former conquerors are coming to them, following the light of a star, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, falling to the ground and worshiping Jesus. Our Bibles say they knelt down and paid him homage, and that makes it seem very formal. But the Greek is actually much more intense. It literally says they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. This is the realization of what Isaiah was talking about, that nations shall come to you bringing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. The epiphany here, the revelation is that the God of Israel is being revealed to Gentiles, to people who are not Jewish, to the world through Jesus Christ. What was formerly only known to Israel is now known to those outside of Israel. This isn't just the fulfillment of prophecy, like the end or the culmination of what Isaiah was talking about. This is just the beginning of all things being restored, all people, Jews and Gentiles, being gathered together and made whole. So what we see here is light shining from a star, leading the nations to Jesus, and the glory of the Lord being revealed through Christ. First, we have light shining on Israel, God's glory being revealed through them. Now we have light shining on Christ, God's glory being revealed through him. Then we get to Paul and the Ephesians. The Ephesians are Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who have come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Paul is a Jewish person who has come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. So here we see Jews and Gentiles living life together and proclaiming the praise of the Lord together in Christ. Paul writes to them and says, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed." He's talking about an epiphany here. He's saying there's been an epiphany, but what is it? What is this mystery that he's talking about? What has been revealed and made known? He says the mystery that has been revealed is that Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, sharers in the same promise in Christ Jesus. Those who were outside of God's promise have now been brought in to God's promise. Those who were excluded are now included. Those who were far off have been brought near. It's the continuation of this gathering together, restoring and making whole what was once broken and divided. And Paul actually talks about this very thing earlier in Ephesians. In chapter 2, he says, "You Gentiles were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near." He's made the two groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, the hostility between us, creating in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. Paul says that this is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, to gather all things up in him. He's saying that this has been God's plan since day one. And now in Christ, it's happening. And it's happening, he says, so that through the church, the wisdom of God might be made known to the world. So first it was God's light shining on Israel, God's glory being revealed through them. Then it was God's light shining on Christ and God's glory being revealed through him. And now what we see here is God's light shining on the church, Gentiles and Jews, and God's glory being revealed to the world through the church. That the world looks at them, at us, and sees the glory of God. Sees that it is possible for people who are different to live together as one. For enemies to live together in peace. That from the beginning of time, it was God's plan to gather all people together as one. And that in the church, that is exactly what God is doing. The church, we are meant to be a glimpse of the all-inclusive kingdom of God, where there is room for all, everyone belongs, and there is enough love and blessing for everyone. So we look at all of this, these three texts, and maybe the epiphany for us at the beginning of this new year is that in Christ, that which is broken is made whole. Whether we're talking about brokenness in our bodies, how we experience sickness, pain, disability, and death, the brokenness of our spirits, how we experience fear and doubt, depression and despair, the brokenness in our relationships, how we experience distance and separation from each other, whether it's physical or emotional distance, or the brokenness in our world, violence and war, oppression, racial, religious, political discord. However we experience that brokenness, the promise that we have is that God is healing the world, gathering up all these disparate parts to make them whole again. And we may not always be able to see that healing taking place. We may look at the world around us and we are surrounded by such thick darkness of sadness and suffering that is all that we can see. And so we are invited to come to this table to be nourished where we are hungry, to be strengthened where we are weak, to touch and taste where our faith fails us, that the glory of God might be revealed to us here, so that we can go out and share it with the world. Let us pray. Great and glorious God, wherever we are experiencing darkness in our lives, or we see it in the world around us, we pray that you would come shining your light, that there would be a glorious announcement of your presence in this world and in our lives, where we struggle to see your healing presence, your healing power at work. That you would open our eyes and make that known to us. Help us to see in ways that we cannot understand right now, where we struggle to trust. We pray that we would encounter you there and be strengthened in our faith. In this day of Epiphany, we pray, Lord, that the lights would come on for us and lead us to new understandings of your presence and power, that we could reach out from here and welcome all people, even our enemies, into the loving embrace of your kingdom as we have experienced it through Jesus Christ. Make yourself known to us, Lord, in real and powerful ways in this new year. May we experience your healing, reconciling strength through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask your blessing upon your church, upon this community, upon each one of us, and upon your world. We ask it all in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.